Hello and welcome to another episode of the PE Risk Podcast. I'm Victoria Ho, a senior associate in the PE team based in our London office, your host for this episode. Today we'll be diving into the world of anti-bribery, anti-money laundering and sanctions. These risks remain a critical issue for PE investors and require portfolio board level strategy to address and monitor. To explore this with us further, I'm thrilled to be joined by Michael Irons and Kelwyn Nichols, two partners from our litigation, dispute resolution and risk management team, right here in our London office. Kelwyn, let's start with anti-bribery and corruption, or ABC as many call it. Where would you say this risk rank amongst the many compliance risks that PE firms face?
Bribery and corruption risk remains a big issue for PE firms. The obvious risk of uncovering bribery and corruption in a target or a portfolio company is enforcement risk, the risk of enormous fines after a lengthy investigation. But aside from the obvious risk, there are a host of other problems associated with bribery. Loss of licenses and permits, procurement bans, legal and other advisory fees, contractual disputes and litigation, HR issues, loss of key personnel, difficulties with auditors, and so on. If you have a corruption problem in some part of the world, you also have heightened political risk, because future governments or government officials will often want to walk away from companies that have enriched their predecessors or political opponents. And then there's reputational risk for the portfolio company and potentially for the PE firm standing behind it. There's a lot of academic research on the impact of bribery on listed companies, saying that their share price falls on average by 5% on the day a bribery issue is announced, and around 13% following the inevitable further disclosures. You've got the same effect, or probably a greater effect, for unlisted companies. It destroys value. A bribery problem can make a portfolio company uninvestable or severely restrict your exit options. So I'd put it near the top of the risk register for many portfolio companies.
Yes, and I'd agree with that. I think we've certainly seen transactions where portfolio companies with historic and, at least in monetary terms, low value incidents become a key focus at exits. And I guess, Michael, would you say the same for AML and sanctions risk?
Essentially, I think I would, yes. I mean, the enforcement risk in relation to AML and sanctions is probably the same as it is in relation to ABC, frankly. Sanctions, as you no doubt will be aware, is a pretty hot topic at the moment. It's in the news all the time. And in the UK, just the other week, a parliamentary select committee was calling for greater enforcement activity in relation to sanctions. So the risk is definitely increasing. A portfolio company that's found to be in breach of sanctions or money laundering, the consequences can be just as severe as those mentioned by Kelwyn, I think. And money laundering is often thought of as a problem for the banks. They're the ones who handle the KYC. Those are the organisations that have to handle the money in the bank accounts. They're at the forefront. But the reality is that money laundering rules are much broader, and they can be relevant to private equity portfolio companies too. I mean, first, there's an ever-increasing range of companies forming part of what we call the regulated sector who need to comply with specific obligations to deal with money laundering and prevent money laundering. But also any company can be involved in money laundering if they handle the proceeds of criminal activity. That can be the proceeds of a bribe. It can also include tax evasion, fraud, or any other illicit activity committed, frankly, anywhere in the world. So there really are overlapping circles of risk. And these are areas that, in our experience, are high on the agenda of anyone investing in a company or financing an investment in a company. And so they're key for a PE firm when making an initial investment and also when considering exit options. And therefore, they're key for the portfolio companies as well.
Yes, and I guess given the scope and complexity, Kelwyn, how should a PE firm assess this risk in order to focus on the issues that really matter?
For bribery and corruption, there are a number of risk frameworks that you can use. Geographic risk, using the Corruption Perception Index as a blunt tool, but it's easy to apply. Sectoral risk is the company in one of the higher risk sectors, such as energy or construction or defence. Transaction risk, political donations, licences and permits, public procurement. There's business opportunity risk. Does the company use intermediaries or agents to win or retain business? That's a big one. And business partnership risk. Who are your JV partners and consortium members? Now, that can all sound quite dry and technical, but I think that's the wrong way to look at bribery due diligence. Look at it this way. What could be more interesting for the potential owner or current owner of a portfolio company then getting a deep understanding of the critical relationships the company needs to operate successfully. Who does it depend on locally and why? How does it make money? How does it win work? And who are the key external stakeholders, such as customers and suppliers? When you're doing due diligence on bribery and corruption, you're often looking into the most interesting parts of the business.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I would just add, a lot of this stuff is common sense. Take policies, for example. It's all very well to have a policy around gifts and hospitality, but does anyone in the company know where to find it? When was it last updated? Is there any record of anyone approving or refusing permission? Kelvin, you mentioned agents. Can the company explain what each agent actually does for the company? What expertise do they bring to the table? How did the company find them in the first place? Really simple questions like that can tell you a lot.
And I guess, what about sanctions? The regulations are hugely complex and seem to change all the time, particularly in the geopolitical climate that we're in now. I guess, Michael, how are portfolio companies supposed to manage that risk in practice?
It's a fair challenge, Victoria. I mean, just keeping up with the change in regulations can be a full-time job. You have to take my word for that. And then there is the huge complexity and the inconsistency sometimes between overlapping regimes. Bribery is relatively easy. Anyone can tell a bribe, or supposed to be able to tell what a bribe is when it looks them in the face. But sanctions is a far more technical area, and it can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't mean it's impossible. I think really what you have to do is take a risk-based approach. And this is frankly something which is emphasised by the relevant authorities. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, we don't deal with, say, Russia, so there's no risk to us, because the sanctions can be broader than the territory of a particular country. But there are practical steps companies can take to manage that risk. It all starts with a risk assessment. Are there particular products you're involved in supplying? Are there particular counterparties you're involved in dealing with? Start with the risk assessment and much of it will flow from there.
And Kelvin, do you think PE firms have a significant role to play then in countering the risk of financial crime?
Yeah, I don't think PE firms have any more sort of moral responsibility than other owners, but commercially, yes, they certainly have a massive role to play. I'd say two things. First, how well these risks are managed is an obvious commercial opportunity. So PE firms that help portfolio companies to thrive while protecting them against the sorts of risks we've been talking about today, especially in those higher risk sectors and markets, create real value. The second point is that PE-appointed directors on the boards of portfolio companies can provide a really helpful governance check. People who pay bribes are not usually innately criminal. They might be faced with a choice between not winning business, which means that they're going to lose their job, or paying a bribe, in which case they'll keep their job unless the bribe gets found out, in which case they might go to prison. Or sometimes they're motivated by the idea that everyone else does this, so why can't we? And where a PE-appointed director can bring some important governance support to the company is by bringing the kind of perspective, experience, and representation of wider stakeholder interests that can make all the difference in helping portfolio companies to overcome these problems.
A huge thank you to Michael and Kelvin for your invaluable insights. And to our listeners, if you'd like to engage on the topic further, please do reach out to us or go to our Clifford Chance website for more information.